You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Yes, it's always exciting for us to be together. And especially this Sunday, as some of our team here, Team ICS, some of our circle leaders are joining us in our worship service at 10:30 a.m. Of course, those of you who are online and in tune, always good to have you with us. Next Sunday, I want to extend an invitation to you, is our very first public worship service happening here at ICS Church. It's also our anniversary Sunday. And so we invite you. You don't have to be part of the church, but if you want to come and check us out and come and visit, please do so. But before you do that, make sure that you make a reservation. Save a seat. So go to ics.church/save-me-a-seat. And reserve a spot for you next Sunday, either at 8 a.m. or at 10:30 a.m. here on site, physical location at ICS Church. For those of you who don't know where we are in Mandaluyong City, Greenfield District, to be exact. But everyone that's in the room right now here at ICS Church, so good to see you all today. Many faces that we haven't seen for a while, but we're glad that we're able to connect this Sunday morning here at church. We're currently doing a series called Greater. It's part of our month here. It's a month-long series at ICS Church, Greater. And the title for today's message is Greater Measure. Greater Measure. How many of you guys have been active ordering stuff online? Come on, it's confession time. Confession time. If that's you, are you a Lazada fan? Are you a Shopee fan? Where do you usually order your stuff? Type it in the comment section, right? Anybody Lazada fans here? No? Shopee fans? Yeah, a couple of people. So, funny story, a couple of months ago, when this was taking off, you know, everybody was on their apps and ordering stuff online, whether it was food or just random stuff on sale, 11-11, 12-12, 10-10, whatever it is. I heard a story about somebody, you know, you're in lockdown, you're in quarantine, and I'm guessing she was probably getting a little bit bored and wanting to do stuff as well. So she saw something on one of these apps being sold, and it was a sewing machine. Now, you know, if you want to buy a sewing machine right now, it's pretty expensive. It's in a couple of thousand pesos here in the Philippines. And so when she opened her app, she saw what she thought was a good deal because the image was a sewing machine and the price was 500 pesos. Come on, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. If I saw a new sewing machine for 500 pesos, I'd buy it, won't you? It's a good deal. So out of her excitement, she did that. She bought it right away on her app and she waited for it. This is the new season right now. There was a time when people, you know, when a doorbell rings, people get excited for visitors. Hey, you know, our visitor comes, is here. Or, you know, if there's a guy that's courting you, you hear the doorbell, it's like, hey, my boyfriend's here. And flutters and new kinds of excitement. This time around, people get excited when they hear the doorbell because their delivery is there. It's a different kind of excitement. So eventually, you know, after a couple of days, doorbell rings and the delivery arrives. Of course, a lot of excitement in this person's heart as she received the package. Now, if you're ordering a sewing machine, it'll probably be pretty big, I imagine, right? Probably come in a box. But she was surprised because when the delivery came, it was a packet. It was a small packet. So long story short, she receives it, she opens the packet, and yes, there it is. Her sewing machine has arrived, but not the way that she expected. Instead of a regular sewing machine where you actually get to sew clothes, she was able to get a little sewing machine. It was a toy sewing machine. Again, 500 pesos. She was definitely disappointed. I'm sure, you know, probably her heart sank at that point, not expecting to receive a toy sewing machine. And you know, that's how it is in many of these situations. We look at websites, we go to the store, we look at magazines, and we think, you know what, I'm going to order this thing, expecting something probably beyond our expectations to arrive. And how often does that happen? That whatever we order, whether it's food or a sewing machine, when we finally get it, it's like, man, this is not what I was expecting. Our heart sinks because what we expected, reality and expectations don't always go hand in hand and don't always jive. And that's what happened in this person's life. Maybe that's what's happened with you. Have you ever done that? Yeah. Type, I have, if you want to confess right now. If you've done that, you know, you saw something, you bought it, and when it got there, it's not what you expected. It's disappointing, I know, and you sometimes you feel like, man, all that money for nothing. I'm grateful today that the Savior that we serve, the God that we follow, isn't like that, aren't you? The God that we serve and the God that we follow is faithful. He does what He says He's going to do. He fulfills His promise, and when He gives an answer, He delivers it, it's usually beyond what we expect. Beyond what we expect. John 10:10, Jesus, when He was talking about the Good Shepherd, actually tells us what He is like to those who would choose to trust in Him. And in John 10, verse 10, the writer, the gospel writer, John the Beloved, writes this. He quotes Jesus. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came," Jesus speaking, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly," or have it to the full. This is the promise that Jesus makes to those who would trust in Him, to those who would believe in Him. And I'm thankful today because throughout the years that I've put my faith and trust in Jesus, I've found Him to be true to His word. I found that His promises have been yes and amen, and in times when He has delivered on His promises, it's usually beyond my expectation. It's always been a wonderful and amazing surprise. It doesn't always come the way that I expect, but when He does deliver, it always exceeds what I have always expected. And that's what He wants to do for every single one of us. Those of you who are watching today who don't know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that's what He wants to do for you. In fact, many of you who have already put your faith and trust in Jesus have testimonies, have stories in this first month. At ICS, we're doing a 21-day prayer and fasting. And some of you have already experienced that miracle just within the past couple of weeks of this year. And I want to let you know that there is more to come in 2021. Come on, can you say amen? There's more to come this year. I'm waiting for that. I'm expecting of that. I'm expecting greater things to come in 2021. And the reason we experience this is because Jesus does it. A life lived for Jesus is a life beyond measure. It is a life beyond measure. It's something that happens to us, that we experience, that goes beyond our expectations. And we want to, He wants us to continue to experience that every day. Even through the pandemic, even through the season where it feels like, you know, there's nothing to be excited about right now, there is still a lot that God is wanting to do in our life, in your life, and in my life. If we would just trust Him, if we would obey Him, if we would walk according to His purposes, we will experience that for ourselves. But unfortunately, for a lot of people, they put their reliance, their faith, their trust in things that don't always deliver. You know, sometimes you order things in the restaurant and you're expecting a certain kind of taste to come with it. You're expecting it to satisfy your hunger, to satisfy your thirst. And when it's delivered, it's like, man, first of all, it doesn't taste good, or the portions are too small, right? Ever feel that sometimes? For the amount that you're paying, the portion that you get is not enough, or the taste that you were expecting to get for the amount that you're paying was not delivered. It didn't come the way that you expected. That's been the problem throughout the ages. In fact, there was a young woman that met Jesus who experienced the same thing. This young woman had a very colored, storied life. And she was a Samaritan. Now, in the first century, and in the Jewish culture, in Israel, during the time of Jesus, Samaritans and Jews do not mix. Because Samaritans came into being out of the interracial marriages of Jews and non-Jewish people. And so for the pure bloods who were Jewish, they didn't associate, they didn't mix, they didn't socialize with mixed-race Samaritans. But, you know, Jesus, he just does what he wants to do, right? So on one of these days, they were nearby Samaria. The disciples had gone ahead into town. Jesus stayed back at the well, Jacob's well, and it was noontime. And while he was there waiting by the well by himself, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. She approaches and Jesus says, "Hey, can you give me some to drink?" And so the Samaritan woman is startled. She's surprised because obviously you're Jewish. Jesus, you're Jewish. I'm Samaritan. This isn't normal. This doesn't happen regularly. So she engages Jesus in a conversation. She says, "I can see that, this isn't supposed to be happening. Why are you asking from me? You're a man, and not just a man. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan." And Jesus says, "You know, if you just know who I really am, you would be the one to ask me for a drink, and I could give you water so that you will never be thirsty again." And again, the woman is confused, and she's thinking, "You don't even have anything to draw water from. This well, what are you talking about?" Jesus said to her, here's the passage, let's have a read. In John 4:13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," this physical water, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Don't you wish you could draw water from that? Every now and then at our home, the water dispenser runs out of water. So it's either my son, Nathaniel, or me who has to carry that gallon of water, replace it, and put it back in. Don't you wish that there was just water that wouldn't just run out? That it was pure, that it was clean? Or drink a water that will never cause you to be thirsty again. Meaning just one gulp of that and you're set for life. You never have to drink a single drop of water ever. And so this woman was thinking, "Man, that's pretty awesome. You mean I don't have to come back to the well anymore to draw water every day? I mean, that's heavy stuff. That's labor. That's heavy labor. That's duty." And he's saying, "No, that's actually not the kind of water that I am offering you." But how many of us today, you know, try to satisfy something in our life that is missing? Whether it is by, you know, accumulating wealth or possession, and after a while, it seems like, "Man, why is it that my quench, my thirst is not satisfied, even though I thought by buying this thing, by getting into this relationship, that need would be met?" And we come to a point where we feel like, "I want to give up, you know, I thought this would bring me value and meaning and purpose. Nothing. I thought by having this relationship, by getting this job, by acquiring this particular possession, attaining wealth, power, and fame, that it would be enough." And we come to that point, and you may be in that position, and you feel like, "Man, it's not bringing me the satisfaction that I don't have." There's a song that sings that, right? "I can't get no satisfaction. And I try. It's not a worship song, right? I can't get no satisfaction. And that's what we experience in the world. We strive through our own might and our ability, and it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. For this woman, that's what she thought Jesus was offering. Temporal satisfaction. When in fact, what Jesus was offering was living water, was life that would quench the thirst of her soul. So today, if we are going to live a life beyond measure, we need to find something that will satisfy our soul. The good thing is Jesus brings and gives us something that will satisfy our soul. That's what he offers. He says, you know what, if you would trust in me, if you believe in me, if you would rely on me, if you would surrender your life to me, you're not going to lose anything. You know what? You're going to gain everything. Why? Because I will give you life. I will give you life. This is life that I am offering, a life that will satisfy your soul. It's not temporary. It will not fade. It will not rot. It will not run out. It will completely satisfy. This is what Jesus offers to us today. A house will not satisfy a soul. A relationship will not satisfy a soul. Possession, wealth, material things will not satisfy a soul. They may pretend and project themselves and sell themselves to satisfy, and that may be true for a moment. It will be temporary. By the time it's used up, it's worn out, conflict comes in, then dissatisfaction will start to settle. But with Jesus, he constantly satisfies. He says here, it will be like a spring welling up. That's what a relationship and a life with Jesus is like. It's like a spring that never runs dry. There is more than enough, and it bubbles up and bubbles over. That's the image that he paints us here. So if you're desiring a life that is without measure, that is beyond measure, Jesus calls out to you today and says, hey, would you drink from me? Would you consider putting your faith and trust in me? And for those of us who already are followers of Jesus, it may be time for us to say, hey, could you lean back towards me again? You've been trusting too much on your own ability, on your own possession, on the things that are surrounding you, that are giving you temporary satisfaction. But let me remind you, it will fade. It won't last. So would you come back to me? Would you come and drink from me once again? The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We can experience the goodness of God, even in the midst of challenging times. A life beyond measure requires unlimited resources. Come on. If we are going to live fulfilled and satisfied, we've got to be sure that there is a steady supply of what we need, right? If you guys know of an ATM that never runs out of money, let me know. I mean, all ATMs run out of money. But wouldn't it be nice if you went to an ATM and then the moment you withdrew from your balance and money was taken, when the receipt is printed out, the balance remained the same? Have you ever experienced that? You have 1,000,000 pesos in your ATM, you withdrew 500,000, and when the receipt comes out, it says, withdrawn 500,000, remaining balance 1,000,000. Whoa, come on, come on. That's the kind of ATM I want to withdraw from. Now, I've heard that's happened a couple of times, right? Because of a technical error. And some people were wonderfully surprised because of it and continued to withdraw because it seems it wouldn't run out. That's a glitch in the system if that happens. And, you know, in the season that we're in right now, a lot of people are going through a lot of difficulties because some of us, some of you may have been retrenched. You know, you're out of a job or the business isn't going well because of what's happening, not just in the Philippines, but around the world because of the pandemic. Maybe other things as well that's taking place, and provision is just not enough. Do you know what the good news is? We serve a God with unlimited resources. Jesus is a Savior and Lord with unlimited resources. There's a situation while he was here on earth and he was preaching. In fact, it took a whole day. Right? This stream only lasts an hour. Can you imagine? Jesus was preaching the whole day. And instead of people walking away, they continued to have more people came to listen. More people came to follow him. Until it was the end of the day. And the disciples, good disciples that they were, thought about the welfare of everybody who was present. And they came to Jesus. Jesus, you know, this is awesome teaching, awesome preaching. We're getting our souls fed. A lot of good stuff that you're giving to us today, but, you know, it's the end of the day. I think the people are already physically hungry. We should probably send them home. What does Jesus say to his disciples? You go and look for something for them to eat. Wait. We're in the middle of nowhere, right? I don't have Grab. There is no internet connection. I don't have enough load on my ATM to feed the thousands of people. Jesus, can't you see? Man, a month's wage, a year's wage, isn't probably enough to feed the thousands. But being good disciples, they went about looking for something just in case they would find food to feed the multitudes. And they find, what do they find? 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Is that enough to feed the thousands? It tells us that there are about 5,000 men, not including children. So multiply that maybe by 2, it's probably about 10,000 or more people that were present. What are we going to do? Okay, Jesus, this is all we found. Jesus blesses the food and distributes it to everyone there. More than 5,000 people are fed, and there's even leftovers. Mark 6, 42 says, they all ate as much as they wanted. This was a buffet dinner. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. Out of a few loaves, out of a few fishes, thousands were fed, and there was leftover. You know the beauty about following Jesus? Jesus has access to unlimited resources. Yes, he has. And so whatever situations we're facing, whether it is a need like this, this is a need. We need to eat, right? That's a need. When we come to the Lord, he will provide. He will provide. He did this to Israel. Israel was in the wilderness and in the desert, and they had been roaming around for a while. There's nothing in the desert that grows. But what does God do? He provides manna. He provides bread. He provides quail. And not just that, he guides them. The divine GPS, pillar of fire and a cloud to guide their way through the wilderness. He provides for our needs and even goes beyond that. See, it would have been enough just to satisfy the hunger of the people, but it tells us here there was excess. There was excess. When we commit to God the little that we have, and we say, Lord God, I commit to you all these things, it's yours anyway. You know what God does? He multiplies it. He multiplies it, not just for us, but to be a blessing to others surrounding us as well. Why? Because that's the kind of God that he is. He's a loving God. He's a generous God. And he's a God that responds beyond what we expect. That's what he does here. Unlimited resources is our source. And then he goes beyond our expectations. He goes beyond our expectations. You know, at the beginning of this year, you may be going through some of these struggles. But I want to challenge you right now to trust him. Here at ICS, we tithe. We set a percentage of our income to the Lord. We do that by giving to the works of the ministries at church here at ICS. And that is above, that is not even our offerings yet. We believe that God also calls us to give a free will offering aside from the tithe. You know, throughout the time, from the time that I started tithing, I've never seen God neglect or forget about my needs. In fact, he has constantly provided for every need, and not just for me, but for my family as well. And the beauty about that is even beyond that, you know, we're able to release the generosity of God as he has continued to show generosity over us. He always goes beyond what we expect. But the important thing is we surrender it to him. This young boy with the fish and the loaves of bread gave it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it, met his need, and met everybody else's need as well. And I believe that's God's purpose for you today. That's God's purpose for us as a church. That God would bless us so that we could continue to be a blessing to others around us, to the nations. to those who are in need, and in doing so, encounter the love, the generosity, the grace, the mercy of Jesus as well. Believe and trust in Him. Surrender to Him and trust it to Him, and see what He does with what you give. He works beyond our expectations. Paul reminds the church in Ephesus these words, Ephesians 3, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He was talking about the acts of God. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Do you believe that God will do this in your life? I do. I do, because He has, time and time again. He will outdo them all, Paul says, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. It's the Holy Spirit that works in and through us. God will do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what we ask or even imagine, in another translation. Jesus provides above and beyond our expectations. He does, and He will. This woman who came at the well and had a conversation with Jesus thought that she was just going there to get a drink for herself, maybe for her family as well. But then she encountered Jesus, and her life was never the same again. In this encounter, she would respond in faith. She says, you know what? You've been looking for a way to satisfy your thirst that's deep within your soul. In fact, you have engaged in multiple relationships, this young woman, this Samaritan woman, and those things have never satisfied. Would you drink from me? Would you trust in me so that whatever is causing that thirst in your soul would be satisfied? She goes back to town and tells everybody in town, hey guys, I think the Messiah is here. I think He has come to our town. Would you come? Because He told me all these things about my life. And man, I'm actually feeling good. I'm not feeling condemned. I'm not feeling bad. I'm feeling energized. And the rest of the town hears Jesus. Jesus preaches to them, talks about the kingdom of God and the love of God, and many in this town commit their life to follow Jesus, and their life were never the same again. This woman comes expecting her physical need would be met, and Jesus goes beyond her expectations and meets something far deeper than that. You know, a lot of us expect that our temporal goals and accomplishments would meet something that is a deeper need. But God, aside from meeting that temporal need, wants to meet something far deeper and far greater than our temporary requirements. The good thing is, when Jesus meets what we're hungry for in our soul, He also commits to meet our every need. He says, when you seek my kingdom first and my righteousness, all your needs, I will meet. Whether that is a physical need, a material need, an emotional need, a spiritual need, Jesus is our all-sufficiency. He is all that we will ever need, because a life lived for Jesus is beyond measure. It is beyond measure. I want to repeat it again for some of you who may have missed it. In the first part of this year, in our week of prayer and fasting, week one, God met the needs of some of you already. Debts have already been covered to the thousands, to the hundreds of thousands, proving that Jesus again is taking care of us. For those of you who didn't have a job, I've constantly heard this for the last couple of weeks. New job openings have come. Those who were even going through transition, as quickly as that, God has already positioned you for a new job and you're about to start. And we believe that all of this has happened because, again, Jesus is true to His word. He came to give us life. and have it more abundantly. And we're experiencing that today. You may be listening to this and you don't know Jesus as your own Savior and Lord of your life. You know, it's the offer that He gives to you as well. You don't have to be a Christian right now to experience all these things. In fact, He pursues you even as you're a sinner. But once you turn your face towards Him and recognize Him as your personal Savior and choose to make Him as Lord of your life, you can actually begin to experience that abundant life that He promises to give. How these gifts come to us and how Jesus answers may not always come the way that we expect. But one thing that we can be certain of, He will always be true to His promise. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will provide for every need that we have. Sometimes the circumstances surrounding us take place outside of what we expect. Sometimes the gift and the way God answers is beyond what we expect. But over time, as you continue to trust in Him, you will see Him outwork it. Joseph says it very clearly in the book of Genesis. Joseph the dreamer says, you know, my brothers, you guys intended it for evil, possibly to destroy my life or even to kill me, but God intended what happened to me for good, to save many who otherwise would die. Paul echoes the same sentiment in his letter to the Romans. He says, for in all things God works for the good of those who are called according to His purposes. I pray that as you choose to lean in God today, to fully trust in Him, to fully surrender all that you have to Him, to submit to Him, every single request that comes your path, your way, in your life or in the life of other people, that we would reap great things in 2021 beyond measure, because this is what Jesus has promised to do in our life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.